Give your message to the kids and to us. It is in your loving and patient name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Young people are dismissed to junior worship. Okay, follow the crew out.
Well, happy frosty and cold new year. Woo! Our temperature changed just as the new year changed, didn't it? Woo! Man, I got two girls from Texas hanging out at my house, and it's cold for them. In fact, they said they've had enough. They're leaving tomorrow morning, so they're getting out of Dodge. But I am so glad everyone is here today. So welcome. And whether you're here in the building, you know, brave the cold to come out, or if you're online sitting at home in front of a fireplace, we're jealous. But we thank you for joining us today either way, as we look at what God's message is for us to start the new year. Well, 2022 is here. And I believe God has some incredible plans for our church body this year. Amen? You know, looking back at 2021, the pandemic continued. And of course, it's still continuing today. We had a change in our presidency. Spending bills were debated. Troops were withdrawn from Afghanistan. And vaccine talk has dominated the news. On the sports front, there were the Tokyo Olympics. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. The All-Star Game was pulled from Atlanta, but the Braves eventually won the World Series. Our own U of I basketball team won the Big Ten Championship, but blew it in the tournament. But Tiana's Baylor Bears won the National Championship. In Mahomet and surrounding areas, we've seen police shortages, increased violence and shootings, and school board meetings turn ugly. We have dealt with in-person versus online, mask versus no mask, and strained relationships across Mahomet. But on the other side, we've seen new businesses open, we've seen people helping people, and a prayer revolution has even started in our community. MCC in 2021 has seen its share of changes, health issues, and attacks by the devil. However, Sunday school and all our kids' programs returned. Jenna Jeffers has joined our staff as children's ministry director. We have seen Bible studies, small groups, and even our prayer warriors grow. We enjoyed having new visitors and new people join our family. We've had baptisms. We've also continued to pass out bread and Costco items on Friday and Saturday. Matters has continued to make mats for the homeless. We continue to support Helping Hands and It Takes a Village. We even helped some kids and families from Stratton School in Champaign this year. Your generous giving has allowed us to help many individuals in need. We've helped out some local businesses, and we continue to give money out and help out to missions outside of Mahomet. In the midst of all of our human imperfectedness, God has worked through all of us and done some amazing things in 2021. So what's next? We move forward. But how? With all the crazy things going on around us, how do we move forward? Well, brothers and sisters, and for all my high school students, the simple answer and the Sunday school answer is with God. But I want to say that God's word actually gives us some specific ways on how we can move forward as individuals and as a church. And that's what we're going to look at today. So let's go to God's word for some insight. So open your Bibles, your digital devices, or you can look up to the Bible screens in the sky as we read through Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 23 together. Acts 14, verses 19 through 23. And I'm just going to warn you, as we read this, there's going to be some points in which I'm going to stop, and we're going to talk about some of the ways that we can move forward. Verse 19. Then some Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their side. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up, went back into town. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, this is one of those spots we're going to stop for just a second. Because in these first 2.5 verses, it gives us 3 different ways of how we can move forward in 2022. And one way is by understanding the mission. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the risen Savior Jesus gave the disciples, and us, of course, what we have dubbed the Great Commission. It's his last words before he left the earth. Let's look at those for just a second. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age." There's not really any gray area in those verses. Not anything left here to wonder about what Jesus' final command was. We are to go, we are to make disciples, we are to baptize them, and then we are to work with them and teach them to obey Jesus' commands. That's our mission. And we need to understand this first and foremost if we're going to go forward, folks. MCC small groups, they're wonderful, aren't they? Our Bible studies are great. Getting together on Sundays for Sunday school and worship is important and it's wonderful. But if all of that doesn't lead and challenge each of us to go and make disciples, if we aren't baptizing them and then teaching them to follow all that Jesus taught us and commanded, then we've missed the boat. And we're not moving forward. We're just hanging out together. Folks, I got to quote the Blues Brothers today. We're on a mission from God. We better know that we are, and we better understand that the mission God has given all of us, it's to go make disciples, baptize, and teach them. That's our mission, and we need to understand that, or we're not going to move forward. Another way we move forward is by knowing our role. We got to know our role. Ask yourself this. What would make Paul willing to be stoned? What would make him be willing to go back to the same place where they just tried to kill him? What drove him to keep telling people about Jesus? It was the cross. It was the good news of salvation for all who trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the salvation Paul trusted, because of that salvation rather, Paul trusted God. And that's just one part of our role. We need to trust God. That's our first part of our role, to trust God. The Bible tells us so in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. We must trust in God. But sometimes we ask ourselves, why? Why should we trust in God? Well, Isaiah 41:10 reminds us to not fear, for he is always with us and he will strengthen us. If you go to Romans 8:28, it says that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Hebrews 13:8 tells us Christ never changes. Psalm 62:8 reminds us that God is our refuge, our safe place. But one of my scriptures that is a favorite for me for trusting God, one that I go to, it's something that Paul himself wrote in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. Because we will be saved through Jesus, who died for our sins and then made us right in God's eyes. If God would send his Son to die for me, to die for you, to die for every one of us, and to give us eternal life, I think we can trust him in all things. I think we can trust him in even the small things. So my question for you today is, do you really trust God? Charles Spurgeon wrote, "There is one who cares for you. His eye is fixed on you. His heart beats with pity for your woe. And his omnipotent hand shall bring the needy help. The darkest cloud shall scatter itself in showers of mercy. He, if you are one of his family, will bind up your wounds and heal your broken heart. Do not doubt his grace because of your tribulation, but believe that he loves you as much in seasons of trouble as in times of happiness. If God cares for you, why do you need to care too? Can you trust him for your soul and not your body? He has never refused to bear your burdens. He has never fainted under their weight. Come then, soul, say goodbye to anxiety and leave all your concerns in the hand of a gracious God." We can trust God. He's got this. Maybe not in the way we want to see it. We would love to see our lovely governor get up and say, "Masks are off, the pandemic is over," when we get home at lunch today, right? That's only going to happen if it's God's plan. God is in control, and we have to trust him. We have to trust him. Things are rough at work. Trust God. Muhammad students, we got to go back to school on Thursday. Trust God. Brothers and sisters, we have to trust God in all things. That is our number one primary role. But we also are to follow God. Jesus in John 12:26 says, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. If we will follow, we will serve him. We will live out the mission we talked about earlier, and God will honor us. Now understand that Jesus is not talking about just living the life as a Christian, because following Jesus, it may entail even the ultimate cost of following him, that being death of the disciple for the sake of following Christ, for trusting God, and for living for the mission. There are Christians all over this world who face the chance of dying every time they get up to speak or every time they go out to teach someone about the gospel. We're kind of lucky in that way here in America. But we still have to be willing at any point to die for the gospel. Hopefully it won't happen, may not happen. But that's trust. That's following God. We have to be willing to go to whatever extreme he asks us to go to, wherever he wants us to go, which is scary. Because sometimes it's scary just talking to your neighbor about Christ or the person sitting next to you on an airplane. It's scary. But if we're following Christ and we're trusting God and we're living out the mission, these are the things we can do. Also, these verses in Acts remind us that another way we can move forward, and this is the third way in those first 2.5 verses, is we can move forward by being ready to share. Being ready to share. There was a young lady who busied herself getting ready for a blind date. This was not just dinner in a movie. Her date had planned dinner at an exclusive downtown restaurant with live music and dancing. So wanting to make a good first impression, she had taken the day off from work. She cleaned her apartment. She went out that afternoon to have her hair done and get a manicure. When she got home, she did her makeup, put on her best dress, and was ready for her date's arrival. His expected arrival time came and went, but she continued to wait patiently. Finally, after waiting over an hour, she had decided she had been stood up. So she took off her dress, let down her hair, put on her pajamas, gathered all her favorite junk food, and sat down to watch TV with her dog. Sometime later, there was a knock at the door. It was her date. She opened the door. He looked at her, surprised, and said, "Wait, I gave you an extra 2 hours, and you're still not ready to go? We got to be ready for whenever Christ asks us, wherever he asks us, wherever the opportunity presents itself. We have to be ready to share our story, to share the gospel through our story. The Bible reminds us in Ephesians 6:15, and this is talking about the armor of God, "But as shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace." We need to be ready to jump in, share our faith, share the gospel with whoever God places in our path. Now, for the other two ways we move forward, I want to go back to Acts chapter 14, and I want to start where we left off, right in the middle of verse 21. So we're going to go back to Acts 14 and start right in the middle of that verse 21. Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, where they strengthened their believers. They encouraged them to continue in their faith, reminding them that they must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Again, I want to stop there, because these verses remind us that we will move forward by encouraging and strengthening one another. By encouraging and strengthening one another. Now, there are some unhealthy Christian teaching out in the world that says Christians should not experience trouble, but they should expect health and wealth. Now, if you remember the video, that's not what the grandfather was saying to his granddaughter. Because in this world, we're going to have to expect some troubles. But God's overcome the world. So let me ask you this. Was Paul blessed with health and wealth? Was Jesus blessed with health and wealth? Those you don't know, go back and just read the ministry years of Jesus. Jesus was homeless. Didn't have a white picket fence and a house and all that. Now, they weren't blessed with health and wealth, so was something wrong with their faith? No. No. And this is where that teaching breaks down. Jesus put it this way in John 16:33, and it's the same verse we heard earlier. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That is the truth. That is the true gospel we should be talking about. In this world, we will have trouble, but be of good cheer, because God has overcome the world. And that's the kind of strength we all need. That's the kind of strength we all can receive, because God wants us to keep moving forward for Christ. Author Henry Cloud gave a great example from his childhood. He said, "When I was 4 years old, I came down with a leg disease that left me bedridden, then in a wheelchair, and then in braces and on crutches for 2 years. I went overnight from a very active child to a child with a serious disability. My doctor told my parents it was imperative they make me do things for myself and not spoil my character by doing everything for me. I actually remember one incident," he said, "at church when my parents were making me go up a long flight of stairs on my crutches. I was struggling. It was taking a long time. But they were prodding me on. I stumbled. They redirected me. And they continued to watch me do it, one slow step after another. And I am sure it was painful for them to watch. Then suddenly from behind us, I heard a woman say to her husband, 'Can you believe those parents are making that child do that?' I don't remember what my parents said, but years later, I remembered how my mother did it. One of the most caring people I know, my mother, she's also one of the most caretaking people. The kind who has difficulty making the dog go outside in the rain. I can only imagine what it was like for her to let her crippled child struggle through things she could have helped with. So years later, I asked her, "You are one of the most caring people I know, Mom. How in the world did you let me suffer through what I had to suffer through without rescuing me?" "Emmett," she said. "Emmett?" I asked. "Yes, Emmett. Every day when I had to do something I just could not face doing, I would call Emmett, cry my eyes out, and listen to her tell me I had to do it. She would help me through it each time. It was awful." You see, Emmett was my mother's best friend, a wonderful Christian woman. What my mother had discovered was that by herself, she could not do what was required of her. But with the support, she could. Folks, God wants to strengthen each of us, and He wants us to strengthen each other. But how can we do it? Well, how did Paul and Barnabas strengthen the souls of those disciples? Well, first, it was with godly living. Paul and Barnabas were not talking the talk. They were actually walking the walk. As they went back through those cities, the people that they knew that Paul and Barnabas had left everything behind to follow Jesus, left everything. They knew that they even risked their lives by coming back to some of these towns when they came to spread the gospel and do the work of the Lord. Paul and Barnabas were willing to live a life worth following, and that strengthened the disciples. And folks, that's what God wants us to do, be examples for each other. But they also strengthened the disciples through encouragement, the scriptures say. Now, today, it's easy to laugh at people's ideals, especially with social media. It's easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm, to discourage them. In fact, the world we live in is full of discouragers. But we, all of us, have a Christian duty to be encouragers. It's our duty. There's been many a time where a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer from individuals in this church has kept me personally going. Shoot, I have a box, a keep me going box that's in my office that I open from time to time with notes and cards in it from many of you that remind me I have help. I have people who are praying for me and caring for me even when things are tough. Listen, things aren't always going to be easy for us as Christians or as a church. It's just not. We will have tough times. We will suffer. But it's important that we continue to strengthen and encourage each other. Church, I got to say, on a side note, we do this pretty good, pretty well. And we have to keep moving forward by doing it every day. I've seen us do it with so many people who are hurting and struggling. We've had people dealing with loss, and people have stepped up. And not just with food. They've stepped up and walked beside these people who are hurting. Pastor David, we went saying to him to lift him up. I've seen you pray and pray and pray for people, for different ailments, for different hurtings, for different losses. And I've seen God do amazing things through those prayers. And sometimes those prayers always get the result we've asked for, but every individual that you have prayed for has been uplifted and has felt the power of prayers, whether they were healed or not, whether they got over the loss quicker or not. No matter what we prayed for them, they at least felt they were being prayed for and knew people cared about them. And we have to keep doing it. That's strengthening. That's encouraging one another. And that's how we're going to move forward. And then the last verse in the scripture in Acts 14 today, it says, 23, Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. We will also move forward by being on the lookout, Help! Paul and Barnabas knew that they needed help. so they ordained or appointed elders in every church. Every church needs leaders, not just elders. And every growing church needs more leaders, committed Christians who will step up to serve. When I think of our Sunday school program, the nursery, junior church, VBS, youth groups, small groups, freedom groups, ministry teams like facilities, prayer, outreach, worship teams, all of our different ministry teams. When I think of those things, I think of leaders, Christian leaders. In our church, we must always be on the lookout for leaders. And we must also be on the lookout to support our current leaders. How can we do that? The same way Paul and Barnabas did in verse 23, through prayer and fasting. Give these leaders up to God and trust God to take care of them and lead them. You know, as the commercial goes, you may be in good hands with Allstate, but when we give our leaders up, they are in amazing, great, and perfect hands when we pray, fast, and entrust them to God. Folks, we have a week left till we vote on and reconfirm some leaders in our church, elders and ministry team leaders. Spend this week in prayer, asking for guidance and asking for God's guidance with these leaders and all the leaders who are staying in their position, because that's who's going to help lead us as we move forward in 2022. And I can think of no one better to lead our leaders than God. So please, this week, be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for what's coming up for the church in 2022. And let's entrust it to God's amazing, perfect hands. So real quick, I want to go back to the question I asked earlier. What is next for MCC in 2022? We move forward. We continue to let God work through us. And we keep looking and moving forward for Christ. We continue to look for giving opportunities. We look for new ways to minister to each other and to our community around us. And we do it all as a family. Which leads me to this, my MCC family. Our takeaway today is, what's next? It's what is always next. Together. Together, we keep moving forward for and with Christ. Are you with me, MCC? Amen. Amen. That's how we're going to move forward. That's how we'll make 2022 a better year. Not for ourselves, but for Christ. Because we're going to do His work, follow His mission, and do everything He asks us to do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Oh, it's cold and icy and gray, but it's Your day. It's Your day in Your house. It's Your day online.